Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast. This is the conclusion to episode 165. This is part two, Beware of Evil Tongues and Lying Lips. Today is Sunday, September 19th, 2010. Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast. I am your hostess with the mostest, Janine Arnopoulos, and I'm coming to you from spirited North Minneapolis, Minnesota, USA. Pastor Paul's mission is the grocery shelf to the state of Minnesota, located in Disciples Ministries' historic Mikra Kodesh Synagogue at 1000 Oliver Avenue in North Minneapolis. If you need food and you live in Minnesota and you are living in a household of two or more, or you are a senior 60 years and older or disabled with proof, be sure to call us at 612-521-4665 Monday through Friday between 1 and 3 p.m., to register your household for monthly groceries. You can also shop Pastor Paul's Mall online, groceries at vons.com. Be sure to visit us online at www.pastorpaul.org, where you can make a tax-deductible donation to support our urban mission operations. You can also join the community. At the top of the homepage, you're going to find interactive links to the blog, Flickr, the podcast, Life Vantage, YouTube, and Twitter. So be sure to go to pastorpaul.org and check out the interactive links at the top of the homepage. You can also leave a comment, ask a question, make a suggestion, or give a testimony at the blog. There you're going to find the show notes to Pastor Paul's podcast, where you're going to find scripture links that are within Pastor Paul's messages. You can also email me, janine@pastorpaul.org. Be sure to join us every week on Friday for part one and on Sunday for part two of Pastor Paul's weekly podcast. This is the lineup for the month of September. How's your own vineyard? God's hope for feeble saints. Beware of the evil tongues of lying lips. The fork in the road. We'll have a great month of September, the beginning of fall. Beautiful in Minnesota. If you come here to visit, be sure to give us a call at Pastor Paul's. God bless you and have a great month.
And I've talked to preachers all over that have been attacked, or people even that have been attacked, and I say, well, I know that isn't the truth, and you know that isn't the truth, and so. See, I believe that God knows what he's doing, don't you? Because under these circumstances, the rule would become kind and protective and assuring and helpful and most certainly wise and loving. Well, you say, what is a false witness? That's like giving false information in evidence in court. Now, The purpose of court is to guarantee justice between two people, right? Isn't that right? But before justice can be done, the jury must know the facts. And this calls for reliable witnesses, by the way. Because a false witness defeats justice. There is no justice where there's a false witness. His false testimony can rob his neighbor, cost him his home, cost him his job. I seen a deal on TV on a special. And it was some guy that had supposed to have raped some woman, and they lined him up. And they had three women, and two of the women said, "This is not the man," and one woman said, "This is the man." Then they did a semen test on him, and they did all these things, and they all proved that he wasn't guilty. But because of this one false witness, this guy has been in jail for several years, and right now in Texas, it was a deal done by Channel 4 or Channel 5. Right now in Texas, they will not let that man. He says, he will never get another trial. And you know why he couldn't get another trial? Because he hasn't got money. And they have proved that he is not the man. But because of this one false witness that will not change her mind, he is still in jail. Cost him his job, cost him his family, cost him his freedom, cost him his life. See, but a false witness doesn't have to be in court, do they? One who peddles gossip is a false witness. I mean, a false witness and people that do this can be done in such a subtle, sneaky way. A most damning way. And how is that? By asking questions. Listen. God tells Satan, "Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on earth, a man that feareth God and escheweth evil?" And then how does Satan answer? He doesn't make a positive accusation against Job. He doesn't say he's a crook, he's a pet, he's a phony. No, he's not that crude. Instead, he asks a question. Does Job fear God for naught? How slick. How devilish. I mean, is there really a God? See, ask the question. Now, I think this method, and I've seen it worked a thousand ways, I think it's very effective and I think it's very safe. And I think that Satan knew enough not to attack Job and call him a murderer or a thief. Because, you see, he would have to prove it then. It would have got him into trouble because he'd have to prove it. But see, with a question, he puts suspicion. He gives them the ball. He put doubt in there. He put a cloud over Job with no risk to himself. Now, you can lay a trip on somebody real easy by just asking a question. Or you can come up with something like this. Now, I know this is a damnable lie, and repeat the lie. I know this is a damnable lie, but do you know what? I heard this. I heard that Corey embezzled $40 million from his company. We'll make it as ridiculous as we can. Now, I know that's a lie. And you know what they're saying? Just because he's got a new car and he's got a new suit, it must be true. And now they planted all that in somebody. Now here's a person that doesn't want you to have a new car, doesn't want you to have some new sneakers or anything, see? They don't want you to have anything. Well, then now that gets them to thinking, see? Well, could be, but I doubt it. And so then they repeat it. And it's repeated over and over and over and over and over again. And now they have built what? They have built a case against Corey. And you know what? You could go to jail for that. Never done a thing. Somebody else could have took the money. Try to prove it. Try to prove where you were at 9 o'clock 2 months ago. Where were you on the evening of 1975 at 9:02? Well, you know what kind of guy this person is. Did you ever see his eyes? They're beady looking, you know, like a snake. Did you ever notice? Well, now you put that, plant that in somebody's head, and they all but see this guy withering around, you know what I mean? But see, with a question, you plant suspicion and doubt, and you cloud over the person. And a question gets us to wondering about Job and others. Well, I wonder. I mean, nobody can punish us for just asking a question. I just asked a question, a simple question. Like, does Pete pay his bills? Would Harry step out? Is Alice on the make? Oh, I don't believe it. Do you? See, by asking questions here, we can get all the effect without being blamed for any of the cause. You get the same effect, but you're not blamed for the cause of it. Of the bearing of false witness. Oh, but God sees it, and it is a deception. See, Satan was too keen and by asking a question rather than making an assertion. I mean, who could give an authoritative answer to such a question? He didn't attack Job outward, his outward life, no. He attacked his motives. Well, how about him? Well, why do you think he did that? He said, in fact, like this. Well, I think we should check out his inward life, don't you think, friends of Job's? Why did he really do this? Well, probably because he was God's pet, don't you see? Look at everything he's got. I mean, check it out. Why was he God's favorite, huh? Oh, yes, they probably said, he's decent at a price. Does Job serve God for naught? I mean, is it out of love? Is it out of devotion? Is it out of loyalty? Certainly not. He does it for a good price. Uh-huh. He looks good outwardly, don't you see? But he's rotten to the core. Now they're really building a case. And Job or friends couldn't prove Satan wrong. And then there are those who bear false witness by never saying a word. They never open their mouth up in defense. Now, we can be dumb as a clam. I mean clam up. It's like we hear a terrible story about someone, an open out-and-out attack, and we remain silent. That is bearing false witness against your neighbor. Saying nothing is bearing false witness. Well, I just didn't say anything. I didn't get involved. That's false witness. Say amen. Huh? Well, I'm not going to get involved. I'm not going to say one thing one way or another. Isn't that damnable? Isn't it? I'm just not going to say anything one way or another. I'm going to stay out of this. Now, I'm getting bold in my ministry. If someone comes up and they got evil questions or they come up with some kind of thing like that against me, I just walk up to them, I pull them over here and I say, brother, shut up. See, I'm too old to waste time. Just shut up, will you? That's what you have to do. I mean, that's the only language the devil understands. Will you shut up? Jesus did it. Get behind me, Satan! He wasn't talking to Peter. The devil was in between Peter and the Lord. Are you going to tell somebody to shut up? You better, or you're bearing false witness. Keep your mouth shut. That's like somebody that has a terrible story about somebody. You only probably defend them in a half-hearted way. That stinks. That's sin, period. That's fighting the devil with a feather and saying, oh, stop it now. That can't be true. Come on, devil. No, come on, please. Don't talk about my friend like that. Now, come on. It might be 99% true. It might be 98% true. It might be 50% true. It might be 25% true. But what does that mean? Or flattery, that's another way. That is a way of bearing false witness. Now, I think a just compliment is fine. I think an open compliment is great. And I think we all enjoy someone giving us credit where credit is due, I'm sure of that. I think appreciation is needed. But one who is constantly complimenting us while stabbing others to death is a false witness. Oh, I just think you're doing such a good work. But these other guys down here, man, I can't stand it. You ought to see the way they do things down there. If they could do things the way you're doing things, well, you know, I think we're really of God down here. I see what you mean. Yeah, well, yeah, huh? That's false witness. Jesus said, judge not. Of course, you're going to reach conclusions about one another. You're going to have people you like better than others. That's the way it is. That's why you married each other. Right? You loved her more than some of the other girlfriends you had. You loved him more than some of the other people that you knew. Sure, we're going to form opinions about people. And of course, we recognize evil when it comes and when we hear it and when we see it. And naturally, we do business and fellowship with one another, and we must know a person's character somewhat. But Jesus calls for such a decision in this very chapter, and listen, it says like this, give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine. And you know what that means? That means to people who have the characteristics of a dog or a hog. That's like a Mrs. Wolfwag who buries a bone so she can dig it up later, so she's got something to pick with you, a bone to pick. Or Miss Piggy Face in the mud. Are you hearing this? I mean, if they're going to act like a pig, then they're a pig. And if they're going to act like a dog, then they're a dog. And God says, give not that which is holy unto the dog, neither cast ye your pearls before swine. So that which is forbidden is not judging, but fault finding. I think the habit of looking for the worst in people instead of the best. Oh, and it's so easy when somebody does you some dirt to find the worst thing about, oh, yeah, and did you ever notice that person? Yeah, and did you ever notice this? No, I didn't, but now I know. And then did you ever notice that? Yeah, oh, yeah, now that you mention it, and you go on and on and on. It's so easy to find the worst in people, especially those stinkers that find fault with you. Right? It's so easy to see the wrong in those people. Why is it so easy to see the wrong and so hard to see the right? Why is it so easy to find fault with everybody and not find anything good in anybody? Sure, she's nice, but did you ever notice how she... Did you ever notice what a flirt she is? See, anybody that's better looking than them is a flirt. They cannot give any credit, and they got to find fault. Well, why is this course so forbidden? Because, you see, if you're looking for the worst, it will always show up. Own it. Isn't this true in all things in life? Seek the worst in nature, you'll find it. That's like the guy, I went in the cafe, and this guy says, I said, well, it's a pretty nice day out today. Yeah, I'd like to be a little bit warmer. See, it's 69. Well, how warm would you like it to be? 72. So come in the next day, it's just about 72. And this is the true thing, 72. And I said, well, how about today now? And I'm just checking this out. Little bit of a wind. Look, calm the wind down a little bit. It was about like traveling about 5 miles an hour, the wind, you know what I mean? Just enough to... And so then the next day, there was nothing out. Nope, too balmy out. He went on for a whole week. There was never a day. He found fault with every day. I mean, if the sun came up, he'd find fault with the sun. It was either too bright, or it was too orange, or it was too yellow, or it was something wrong with it. And there's people like that, and they can always find fault with everything, but they can never find anything good in anything. You ever been around somebody like that? They're always finding fault. So, well, I asked this guy, I said, well, now, how do you like this macaroni hot dish? And this woman was sitting there, and she's just one of those people that she sat there for a long time. I said, ma'am, I ask you a question now. I mean, I just like to, this is a nature of mine. God forgive me. Once in a while, I irritate back. You know, I said, now I ask you a question. I said, I just ask you a simple question. How did you like this macaroni hot dish? She wasn't going to answer. So I just stood there. I said, would you please answer the question? I said, is it so hard to answer? Well, she says, you see, years ago, I used to take surveys. And you never answered too quick. I says, I got about 150 more people to wait on here. I just want a simple answer. And I went over to this woman over there, and I said, ma'am, how did you like the hot dish? Oh, man, it's really good. Oh, I said, thank you. Thank you very much. See, some people cannot find something good to say about anything. Isn't that a miserable existence? Oh, my God. How to live like that? Now, she got up there and we had apples and oranges and pears and grapes. I'm talking about a $15 bag of fruit. Well, I says, what do you think of this fruit that you got here today? She wouldn't answer. No, I said, and it's my nature again, excuse me. Now, I said, I ask you a question. How did you like this fruit, these apples and these oranges and these pears and these grapes? You know, she never answered me. Could not answer. She was so busy finding fault, I shocked her by appealing to something good in her, which I didn't find. Are you hearing this? And she was so used to, and so now this went on for a while, till finally she broke down. And I didn't ask her questions for a whole week. I never asked her questions. And I just went around. Now, this is deliverance ministry. And I asked the person, well, how's the meal day? Oh, I love this zucchini hot dish. Now, it's either you love zucchini or you don't, right? On top of spaghetti. Some people just said, yuck. Okay. And other people, they were slurping it up and they were eating it, you know, and enjoying it, you know. And so I didn't ask her. Do you enjoy it? And I could see that she loved this zucchini hot dish. I mean, she had it all over her face. She loved it. And I asked this one, and I asked that one, and I asked this one. And I kind of made a motion towards her, and I walked away. And she says, she's sitting here like this, and she says, I love the zucchini hot dish. I loved it. And so I turned around with one of these looks on my face, and I thought, and I knew where it came from. I says, where did that come from? Me! And I walked right by her. And I do that with little kids down there. Say, hi, Pastor Paul. And I look all over, you know. Over here, over here. I said, where's that voice coming from? Just to have fun, you know what I mean? You got to have fun because, I mean, you know, a lot of people don't have fun, period. You know what I mean? They're miserable, finding fault. And so I'm looking around. Where did that come from? And she was just like one of those little kids. Right here, I said I enjoyed the zucchini hot dish a lot. Can I have some more? Oh, I said, why, certainly. Don't have to get angry about it. Give me your plate. But she got broke. See, sometimes you have to teach people how to be nice. They don't know. Honest to God, they don't know how to be nice. They've been taught how to be mean and critical. They've been brought up that way. Are you hearing this? Now, isn't that true in all things in life? Huh? If you're looking for the worst, it'll show up. If you're looking for the worst in your mate, the worst in your church, if you're looking for the worst in your job, what do I hate about this job? Getting out of bed. That's one. If you're looking for something wrong with saints, hey, there's always something wrong with a saint, ain't there? Not only that, but when we fix our gaze upon the worst, we'll never see the best. That's like a vulture. You know what a vulture sees? He only sees the dead. He only sees the rotten, and he misses all the beauty, all the flowers, all the trees, and why? He's looking for the rotten. And we can be like that. Valuing your good name more than your life is a false witness. I mean, if you protect your name, above all things, you're going to protect your name. I know a guy that got a parking ticket, all right? He spent $2,500 and several years fighting that traffic ticket. And he was wrong. And he found fault with every policeman. For all those years, he was looking for everything wrong because he got a parking ticket. What will you do to maintain a good name? How many will you destroy? To maintain your reputation, your good name. I think false witnesses also make it harder for a person going wrong to go right. Well, you know what a drunk he is. I mean, you know, he'll never change. I mean, what can you expect out of someone from the north side? And slander can make a beautiful person a hateful person. That's like these pawn shops. I went by one the other day and I thought, man, all these old crooks in here and they get all these young people to do their stealing for them. Or the dope peddlers or the booze peddlers. Maybe they don't do it, but they cause others to stumble by what they do and what they sell. See, the more conscious we become with the faults of others, the less conscious we are of our own. See, a fault finder never finds fault with themselves because they don't have time. They're too busy finding fault with everybody else. And the more that the false witnesser then tears down his neighbor to build himself up, the lower he must crawl. Guy asked me, well, then how low can you go? I said, hell's pit. Well, then how do we keep this rule in closing? Well, number one, you're not capable of judging anybody. It isn't possible for us to know all the whys and all the hows and all things and all the motives. It's not possible. Have you ever judged someone and then said, oh, if I only would have known the circumstances, I wouldn't have said that. I think we need to beware also of anything needlessly said that may break somebody's heart. And I think next, overcome evil with good and start right now. Start to use good, start to see good, start to hear good, start to see good, start to magnify good, and start to speak good. See, Job's words were the things that kept him on his feet, and his words are of God. And how did he get those words? He prayed. And so let's go back here in closing to Psalm 120 and ask David. David, what do you have to say in closing? And David says something like this in verse 1 of my 120th psalm. I said, in my distress I cried out unto the Lord. You do this. I think it's a wonderful advantage and a wondrous advantage of the trouble it makes us to seek God. Trouble makes you seek the Lord. God's help, I'm saying, comes when we need it. Christ is a seasonable good. For the soul to be dark, and for Christ to come then and enlighten it. For the soul to be dead, and then for Christ come and to enlighten it. Oh, doesn't it happen? Is the opposite? For the soul to be doubting, and for Christ to resolve it. For the soul to be distressed, and then for Christ to relieve it. Isn't that in a season? All things in a season. For the soul to be hard, and for Christ to soften it. And for a soul to be haughty, and for Christ to humble it. And for a soul to be tempted, and for Christ to deliver it. And for a soul to be wounded, and for Christ to heal it. Isn't that in a season? Doesn't it all work to good? And don't nurse your hurts. Don't caress your owies. Don't worry about what lying lips and terrible tongue may say. Sharp arrows of the mighty are headed their very way. You know, I'll say this before I quit here. The tongue, like an arrow, can't be stopped or stilled like the sword. Once it's in motion, look out. And so David is talking once again to me and saying, let me finish my seventh verse of the 120th Psalm. Okay, David, let's hear it from your heart now. Praise God for this seventh verse. I am for peace, but when I speak peace, they are for war. Look at Jesus. Wasn't Jesus the peacemaker? Wasn't he the Prince of Peace? Isn't he the Prince of Peace? Didn't he live to make peace by the blood of his cross? Didn't he die to complete it, to perfect it? Peace, he said, I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world giveth, I give unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, he said, neither let it be afraid, in John 14 and 27. And he said, peace be unto you. He's the peacemaker. And the Holy Ghost is a peacemaker. And the gospel is a peacemaker. And yet, they put him to death. And so, the Bible says they were at war. And like I, David, was for peace with Saul, David speaking now. But when I tried to negotiate peace, it was soon discovered he was for war. In dealing with amounts of food and dealing with the carrying of the poor and so on like that, a lot of times I go in peace and I find people are at war. You go peacefully and they're for war. Yet Jesus says, be not overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. Love your enemies. Now, isn't that a peace that passes all understanding? See, the main message is here is to cry upon the name of the Lord in a time of trouble. There'll always be somebody not liking what you're doing. There'll always be somebody with something to say by the way you do it or by the way you perform it. But see, your help cometh from the Lord. I think we need to encourage radio audiences and people listening to this tape not to judge. Not to expect to know all the hows and the whys or all the circumstances or all the motives behind every move that a person makes in their life, but to simply cry out upon the name of the Lord in the time of trouble. And don't get involved in that kind of thing. You know what? You'll have a perfect peace that passes all understanding. I know there's people in here that have been misunderstood. Isn't that right? Isn't that right? Been misunderstood? Sure you have. And it says in the end, you'll be hated in the house of your friend. See, God tells us not all these things as negatives. He's given you a positive fact. And what do you do with it? You pray for your enemies, and you lift up the name of Jesus, and you call upon the name of the Lord in a time of trouble, and don't get yourself involved in all this. There is so much deception going on right now, it's unreal. Hang on, I was talking to the girls down there and says, there is a deceiving spirit. I mean, it's just the devil. The devil is a deceiver. And you start to wonder, God, whoever is going to tell the truth? Whoever can you really trust? You can trust in the Lord. Say amen. Start to trust in Jesus. You start to trust in people and see that's like having them as a God. Trust in the Lord and God will take care of people. Isn't that right? And you know what? Things will come your way. Now you're getting all your children back. Isn't that right, honey? Why? Because you trusted in the Lord. Right? You know, after all, what was the counsel that you received from the church here? God will have his own way. The more you fight it and the more you tell these people, you know, that this isn't true and that isn't true, the more case they're going to build against you. And you know when really happened? When you just shut up. Then they had to live with their own words, and now the kids are all coming home. Ain't that great? Ain't it? Oh, you know what happened? You called upon the name of the Lord in the time of trouble. I can tell you what had happened. We were down there praying, and the name of the Lord, called upon the name of the Lord, and all those untruths, God took care of it. He didn't hear the lies. He heard the prayer against the lie. And the truth came, and the truth set you free. Now, doesn't that give you peace that passes all understanding? No more war. We've got to go over there to the thing. I got all these beds. Everybody knows your business anyway, so I'm not telling them nothing. Jim, we've got to go over and get 3 beds and 3 mattresses, 6 brand new woolen blankets, and a half a dozen at least pillows, brand new down pillows. And I got the nightstands, and I got some other furniture and some davenports and stuff, and we'll just fix up that house over there, see? And you get John and yourself, and you go on over there to the Stavco building and pick out what you need over there, whatever it is, and we'll load it on that truck, and we'll bring it over there, and we'll set up housekeeping. See, honey, God had his own way in this thing. See, didn't he? Didn't he have his own way? And you listen to all this garbage and all his neighbors and all this and this, and they build a great big case up. It didn't do him no good, see? Because truth always wins out. Doesn't that bring you peace? Doesn't it? God, I mean, what more peace do you want? I mean, you're going to get a bed. That'll be peaceful. You can sleep in a bed. Doesn't that bring you a total peace? And you can know this all along. In any kind of circumstance you get in, God is going to have a field day. I mean, if they're going to war with God, they're going to meet him on the field. A battle. Okay? And those arrows, by the way, you listening, those arrows are headed, if you're into falsehood, those arrows are headed your way. Huh? God, I don't want none of the arrows coming my way. Say, amen. Don't get involved in that, people. Don't ever get involved in that. Hey, don't get involved in that, see? Because God takes care of these things. You don't have to do it at all. Is there anyone in here tonight that doesn't know Jesus as their personal Savior? Go with your tears.